This is the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios,
here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome to another edition of Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. He is Mike Herzing. I am Matt Perrault. We are here each and every week talking everything automotive. Mike, how are you this week?
Oh, it's been a great week, buddy. Got a lot of cool stuff and boy, some crazy stories to this week. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So, okay. So we're going to bounce around a little bit on our news and notes segment coming up in the next segment. We're going to talk about two crazy stories. The first is kind of a wacko one involving the federal government and your phone being connected to your car, which we probably didn't really – we probably should have known about this. But yeah. Now we know about this, unfortunately. And then the other is that NASCAR has unveiled its brand new vehicle for 2022, which it's going to look different. There's a lot of new components to it. And NASCAR is trying desperately to find ways of keeping its teams in business because after the pandemic, they're looking for money through sports gambling. It hasn't really come in yet for them. They're trying to find a way to get more TV audiences interested in watching NASCAR. That's been difficult. So the biggest problem is the engine, and the most expensive thing is the engine for these vehicles and having to produce the engine. And now they're trying to do some different things with the exterior of the car that may or may not help these vehicles, you know, these teams when it comes to the bottom line. So we'll do that. I'm going to review a 2021 Kia Sorento that I had this week that I really, really liked. What did you have, Mike?
Infiniti QX80. Big SUV. Really nice. I liked it.
Which is the Armada is not.
That's it. QX80 and the Armada are cousins.
Interesting. And you like the Armada better than the QX80?
I don't know. I think the Armada styling is better, but it's just when you get up to the upper level Armada, it's probably not much different, but they're both great vehicles. And now they get better fuel economy. They've always been good, but now they got the fuel economy. So
I have an Armada right now, a 2021 Armada that I had it in San Diego and then I have it here in Vegas as well. And it's a big boy. It is a big boy.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's comfortable.
Oh, it's awesome.
And it runs great.
It runs great. It runs really smooth. It's super powerful. It's got very, you know, gas mileage has improved on it, and it can tow a lot. I mean, you got a boat. That bad boy can tow. It's more of a truck than an SUV. So,
and if you're in an accident, you're going to win.
Yep, that's a pretty good decision. Yeah, that's true. There aren't many things on the road bigger than you. Maybe a Mack truck or two, but you're in a very very big vehicle. That's very very true. News and notes coming at you next year on Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
News and notes segment for more Let's Talk Wheels. He's Mike Herzing. I am Matt Perrault. Do we want fun story, Mike, or bad story first? What are we doing?
Let's go fun first.
NASCAR has unveiled their Gen 7 stock car for Chevy, Ford, and Toyota. Okay, so we got bigger tires, new transaxle, and room for hybrid tech. What does this mean, Mike?
This is great. I mean, first of all, they don't have the old school straight axle. Now they can have better handling. The cars will be safer. They're going to accelerate. The racing will be closer, okay? It's going to be more driver-centric than aerodynamic, okay? You've got a Camaro that now looks like a Camaro. You got a Mustang that looks more like a Mustang. You got a Camry that looks more like a Camry. But they've gone from these 15-inch wheels, which is the small wheels and the kind of a tall tire, and they've gone to 18-inch wheels and a lower profile tire. That way Goodyear can make a tire that'll stick better. They're also, the tires went from 10 inches wide to 12 inches wide, which will help the heat transfer. The tires will last longer. Like I said, Goodyear can make a better handling tire because this is better. Also, a little funny thing, instead of having 5 lug nuts that they zip off, you see them with the air wrench, now it has one big one, which is more like Formula One and those kind of guys. It's funny but they can take those 5 lug nuts off in 0.8 seconds.
Yep.
And now it's going to be 0.5 seconds. So it's not going to be much difference, but it'll be safer. And also they went from steel wheels to aluminum wheels, which is a little bit lighter, but they're going to handle better. They're going to stop better. They're going to be better in traffic, like on super speedways. It's just going to be safer. And I think the better racing is what people want. I think that's, people love, I mean, yeah, a lot of people go to the races to watch them crash, and they're pretty good at that. Nobody really gets hurt anymore, you know, since the Dale Earnhardt thing, but the cars are safer than they've ever been and things like that. But the racing's got to be good. And they're even racing on dirt tracks.
Well, let's talk about a couple of different things here, because I have, believe it or not, Matt has a pretty good history in NASCAR.
Yes, you do.
So I have covered NASCAR for years. I used to do a NASCAR show here for the network. So for the Sports Map Radio Network. So a couple things. First, let's talk about the Camaro, Mustang, and Camry looking different. This is interesting, Mike.
It is. It's very interesting.
If you go by, if just talk about the fan base for NASCAR, okay? One of the things that attracted, I think, what attracted Toyota to racing in NASCAR was the fact that they had a car that was right next to Ford. You had the all-American, the amazing Ford branding, the Ford Mustang. The Camry was next to Camry TRD. Their racing packages is right next to what's going on for Ford. The cars weren't different. They looked the same. Now, the stickers on the outside were different, but the actual car itself was the same.
Yep.
Now the Camry's going to look different. It's going to look different. Now, Toyota has done a really good push, and maybe why they said okay to this is because Toyota, if you go to a NASCAR race, you see on every truck that's there, made in Texas. Made in Texas, made in Texas, made. Toyota hammers that home that they build their their trucks in Texas. So I think they probably said, fine, people have gotten used to that now. Maybe they don't think of Toyota as a foreign company. They think it more because it's being built in America. It's more of an American-made company. So maybe they said, okay. But that's, I think, a significant thing. The Camaros, the Mustangs, and the Camrys are going to look different when they race.
And the aerodynamics will be different. But what NASCAR has done is they've gone out and tested all of these, and they're all going to be, although the aerodynamics are going to be different on them, they're still going to be about the same competitiveness. They're not going to give one advantage over the other.
Right.
And that's a big deal with NASCAR.
Huge. And then the other thing is that these are more muscle-looking cars, so they're bigger wheels, and the potential for hybrid power being used in NASCAR. Mike, explain this to me, because we're talking about this is the gasoline race series, and we're going to have hybrids on NASCAR?
Well, what they might do is something like some of the Formula One has this little. They have this little push to pass, which opens up a wing and gives the car more acceleration. When you're close to somebody, you know you can do it like in the Indy car. Indy car has a thing.
It's a nitrous boost.
Yeah, in a way, but Indy car is a thing that you have so many times you can push this button during the race. Was it 20 or whatever? And if you push it to get ahead, you know, now you're not going to have it. You're not going to have it later on, right?
That's crazy. That is literally a video game. It's like you're playing a video game and you hit the boost and choom, you go forward to do it in real life. But Indy cars aren't driving side by side at a super speedway at 200 miles per hour at Talladega.
Sure they are. But
no, they're not.
But if they get too close, they're in trouble. NASCAR, they bang fenders all the time. That's the cool part about NASCAR.
But that's my point. You can have that little boost to get around somebody when you're driving an open wheel vehicle. You can't really have that boost in NASCAR. You go driving into the back of them, you're going to flip 20 cars over at Talladega or Daytona.
True. So like, but they'll do something. I know that hybrid, you know, whether it'll be more of a game, you save your battery charge or do this or that. But it's coming up. It's not right now. It's the future. And, you know, the things they're trying to be green and they're trying to do some things. And I just, you know, the rack and pinion steering is another thing. The steering's going to be quicker and more precise. I think that's going to be great. It's just going to be great. It's a big change for them. All these teams are going to have to spend a lot of money doing all this. And, you know, most of the engines are pretty much the same. The cylinder heads are a little bit different, and some of the very, very minor things. But I knew a guy way back in the 90s or 2000s. He raced NASCAR, one of the lower series, and he had a set of body parts that would bolt on that was a Ford. Then he had another one that was bolt on that was a Chevy, you know. And he says, that's whoever my sponsor is what I am. And the car, though, was the same.
Right.
And that's okay. Everybody wants to root for or against somebody.
Yeah. Right, but that's not – now we're going to have an actual difference between Chevy,
Ford, and
Toyota.
Difference. And it's great, you know, and everybody needs a bad guy like Dale Earnhardt or Kyle Busch or somebody to root against and, oh, I hate that guy and this kind of stuff. And then they always have to have the, you know, Bill Elliott's or, you know, or his son, Chase, any of those kind of things. They're the ones everybody loves. They want him to win. It's like Dale Jr. And so it's all those scenarios that play out, and it's just – it makes it fun. It's fun racing. Everybody has the T-shirts and things like that, and they love it.
So,
you know,
all
it's a fun sport.
It is. So that's the good news. The bad news is this. The federal government can access the data on your phone through your car.
Right.
According to a report from The Intercept, one of the largest law enforcement agencies in the U.S., basically U.S. Customs, has found a convenient backdoor to siphon much of the information from your phone, which is a huge deal because Apple has tried very hard to say our phones are secure. It's part of their bid. It really is part of their whole business model going forward as to why buy an Apple phone, because they say, look, even though our camera, it may not be the best on the market, our security, our tech is the best. So even though your car tried to keep you physically safe with airbags, ABS, whatever, it's really easy to hack, and the police can hack your car.
Right.
And we knew this already, because if your car is on Wi-Fi or your car is, you know, you have anti-theft or whatever it may be, the police will go ahead and find your vehicle. That's how they do it. They triangulate through the cell phone towers and they find where your car is. So now if your phone is attached here to your car, now they can get into your phone the same way.
Yep, recent destinations, your favorite locations, your call logs, your contact list, all your messaging, emails, pictures, videos, social media feed, all this stuff. I mean, your pants are down right here. I mean, it's just terrible.
Now, here's the question. If the police can access it, can other companies? If the cops
if the cops find out about it, there'll be laws against it.
Oh, I'm sure there'll be laws against it. But the problem is, it may be down the road, and we have a huge scandal and figure out, oh my gosh, I can't believe this actually happened. Because I'll tell you this, when you hook your phone up to Apple CarPlay and Android Auto, that is, I mean, it's a must for me. But I never actually thought about that I am putting the data of my phone, because it's a mirror. You're mirroring your phone onto your car. Onto your touchscreen, that your touchscreen, your phone essentially becomes your car, or your car becomes your phone.
Right.
And so it makes perfect sense that the police would be able to get access to your phone through a trap door, essentially, of going through your car to get to your text messages, to your contact list. It makes – because it always asks you when you're connecting your phone, because we do this every week and we get new vehicles, it always asks, do you want to download your contacts? Do you want to
scan
your data? Oh, you say no?
I say absolutely not.
Oh, I say yes.
But it doesn't matter. But even the way – and they can do this without a warrant.
Yeah, so, that's the interesting thing. Why is that? Why can they actually
– I don't know. And I'm sure that somebody will plug that hole. But even then, it's just nuts. You know, everybody doesn't realize now that if you're sitting there speeding and you have an accident that – oh, I didn't want to go in that fast. Well, the companies can go in and go into your computer and see how fast you were going.
Yeah.
They can see how hard you hit the brakes, or if you hit the brakes. They can tell how the yaw sensor, if the car was leaning and sliding.
If you didn't know it, you know it now, because the Tiger Woods story came out, and we all learned that Tiger Woods didn't touch the brake, didn't touch the steering wheel, and straight off the road. Everyone's like, how do you know that? Well, the car records it. That's how.
They've had that for years. Probably 20 years. And it's called an EDR, an event data recorder.
Yep.
And companies would come in there and go, you know, somebody would. I remember once some guy was suing Chevrolet because of he was going around an exit ramp on a freeway and the car didn't stop for him. Come to find out, I was only doing 40. Well, come to find out, he was doing 110 because they went and accessed the vent data recorder. So his lawsuit was out the window. And so people don't realize that, you know, and so there'll be more people shorting out their computers if they have an accident.
It's so interesting. It's such an interesting
thing. I know.
You can read the entire report on The Intercept. It's worth your time to read it. And if you are concerned about that type of stuff, I've always been the part of like, as long as I'm not breaking laws and you want to track me, I don't really care. I'm boring. I don't have a fun life. I don't do a lot of fun stuff. So go ahead and track me all you want, because I'm not doing anything. It's all entertaining. So, but if I was doing stuff that was a little bit on the, questionable.
Thing, you're a dad. I mean,
I'm a dad. I'm not doing anything fun. I'm boring. But for people who aren't boring, who might be doing more exciting things and maybe not wanting the authorities to know what they're doing, you might want to remember that next time you plug your phone into your vehicle as to what's been going on. All right. Time now for automotive reviews. Mike's got an Infiniti. I got a Kia. We're going to tell you all about, and we got more to come. Don't move. It's Let's Talk Wheels right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
It's the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Matt Perrault's back with you here on Let's Talk Wheels. Time for automotive reviews. Mike's got his coming up here in just 1 second. What I was driving this week was a 2021 Mazda 3 2.5 liter hatchback turbo in the Premium Plus trim. This thing was fun, man. Look, I'm not the biggest fan of small vehicles. However, when you pack a 2.5 liter turbo engine with 250 horsepower and 320 pounds of torque, this thing moves. Six-speed automatic. This was fun for a car that can go, you know, 0 to 60, 5.6 seconds. I mean, this is a Mazda, and it's a Mazda 3. It's, you don't expect the car to have as much pump and pop and really much as power as it does. I was really impressed with this vehicle. And look, I mean, the price tag is going to start somewhere around $30,000. So it's not a car for your first entry buyer. It's somebody who is looking for a smaller vehicle, somebody who maybe lives in the city, but wants to have some really nice interior features. This is a really comfortable vehicle. It is, you know, I had it in white with a really nice dark and brown color scheme, dark black and brown color scheme, which I really, really liked. Dark wheels, which were really nice, 18-inch Ford wheels that really stood out. A 12-speaker Bose audio system that was crystal clear. I really liked it a lot. I mean, it felt more like a European car than a Mazda, to be quite honest. And I think if you're somebody who is looking for a vehicle that's going to overperform what it looks like, I love hatchbacks. I've always loved hatchbacks. There's not a ton of room in the back seat. That's the only kind of knock on this thing. But, you know, if you're able to, if you don't need a ton of room in the back seat, but you want some trunk space, got some really nice trunk space. And I think it's, you know, the vehicle I tested was somewhere around like $33,000, $34,000. And you can get this kind of up and down depending on what you want to add to it. But I found this thing to be very fun to drive. I found it to be very smooth. It was very quiet. The infotainment system with Mazdas are just outstanding. I mean, I've always been just a monster fan of what they do and how they bring, what they bring to the table. So the interior is super nice. It's very luxurious. It feels more mature, I guess is probably the better word that people have been using about this vehicle. It's a little more grown up. It doesn't feel like a college kid's car. It feels like more of a commuter person's car. I mean, the touchscreen is really nice. And I'm just a very big fan of what Mazda's got for just on the steering wheel, how easy it is to turn between different, you know, your nav systems and your Apple CarPlay, and how easy it is to adjust everything in the vehicle, really. But, you know, just your stereo is very simple to toggle between different inputs, and it's very nice. Sight lines are really nice, very smooth, very nice seats. Again, I think the back seat's probably the biggest knock on this because the back seat's not that big. But the engine is really fun to drive. Suspension hugs corners. I mean, the grill for Mazda is your typical Mazda grill. It's striking, cool headlights, you know, just black wheels. And the power is there. I mean, it is a fun vehicle to drive. And you could say, you know, it's a knockoff of a luxury sedan. It's not that, you know, not that expensive, but it's, yeah. I mean, I like it. I like it a lot. I would recommend this thing. If you're looking for a commuter car that's not your typical commuter car, if you're looking for something that doesn't need a big back seat, but it's got some great space, if you're looking for something that's going to give you some options in the rear from a you know, just overall cargo space, you know, it's easy, it's quick, it's fast off the line. Gas mileage is good. It feels really luxurious and smooth. Great infotainment system. Definitely check this out. And I'm a big fan of sports sedans. I don't know if I'd call this a sports sedan, but it's definitely got more pep and pop than your typical Mazda 3. And when you drive it, I think you got to drive it to fully understand what I mean. But I would definitely test drive this. And if you're comfortable giving your kid maybe a car that's got a bit more performance on it, if he or she is looking for a little bit more of a fun ride, this thing's awesome. This thing's a lot of fun to tool around with and run around town with. And yeah, it's not the biggest of vehicles, but it definitely gets there when you want it to get there and punch it. So definitely check it out. The Mazda 3 hatchback turbo 2021 premium plus. All right, Mike, what were you driving around this week?
Folks, this week I was driving the 2021 Infiniti QX80. Now, this is the big boy. This is the cousin of the Nissan Armada. Nice vehicle, really luxurious. It's as good as anything that you would get at Lexus or any of the Mercedes, things like that. I really like it. One thing you'll notice, it's so quiet and smooth. It just feels smooth. Like I said, this thing is as big as any Tahoe or anything like that. First of all, if you're not going to buy this for fuel economy, but they've increased it a lot. That's one of the kind of the Achilles heel on this thing for the last several years, is that the fuel economy is always pretty horrible. I mean, if I got 14, I would probably be good. Well, this one, I drove it around, drove it on highway speeds, loaded, I even pulled the trailer a little bit, and I got 18 and a half average. And, you know, I can't beat that. I mean, that's the same as any Tahoe or any Expedition or anything like that. Nice. Okay. Let's see. We got to this 400 horsepower, 5.6 liter V8. It scoots. 7-speed transmission. You know, you can tow 6,500 pounds. For 2021, they made a few changes. They added 3 new, trim levels, the Sensory, the Premium Select, and the Lux. Okay, now the one I had was the Premium Select, which is kind of the middle. One of the nice added things they've added this year is the Smart Rearview Mirror. Okay, and that's basically a camera rearview mirror. So you've got some big kids in the back seat or something, you don't have to worry about it because you can see just fine because it's got this. It works great. The only thing it's on these kind of camera mirrors is if it's rainy and it's nighttime, you're better off with the standard mirror, which you just push a button and it's back to standard. You know, the base price on these things, they start around 69, and you can load them all up into about 79 or 80 easily, which is the same as, you know, anything from GM or Ford, any of that other stuff. So it's pretty average. Really nice interior. This one has 3 rows. The back row will fold down. There is storage behind the back row. It's, like I said, it's comfortable. It's quiet. This one had a big center console between the two. It had 2 captain's chairs on the second row. You can get heated seats front and rear, cooled seats. You can do any of that other stuff. Really pretty semi-aniline leather-appointed seats. And had this little charcoal burl trim and all this other graphite tricot headliners. And, you know, okay, it's nice. Got a big sunroof. And it rides and handles. It's got a hydraulic suspension, so it always keeps it level. Always, when you put a trailer on it, always levels it up. It does all the stuff. Big 22-inch wheels. I mean, you look there; these things are as tall as your hip. Okay, big alloy wheels. Really nice. And like I said, this thing handles much better than it because people think this thing is huge, but it doesn't handle like it. Okay, it doesn't drive like it. And it's like a lot of the standard driver assist technologies available, the blind spot intervention, lane departure prevention, distance control assist, rear seat belt reminder, which is really nice. You know, it tells you, hey, by the way, you open up the back doors, you've got something in the back seat. When you go to walk away, it'll honk the horn. It'll definitely remind you that you left something back there, whether it be a child, an animal, or groceries. Okay. It's got all the Android Auto, Apple CarPlay, a lot of connectivity. It's very easy. It's got a nice 9.6 liter display in the center. That's kind of cool. And it's got, one of the things it's got, have you ever looked in those rearview mirrors and things like that? Whenever there's a LED lights behind you, the cameras will flicker. Everything flickers. That's technology to mitigate that, which is kind of annoying when it happens, but this one solves the problem. It's got a it's higher definition for the things like that. It's drives good. This one is 4-wheel drive. You got low range too, so it's almost like it's not just all-wheel drive, it's 4-wheel drive. And they sell the hell out of these things. It's, you know, they've sold 23,000 of them here in the U.S. in 2019. And the U.S. is their biggest market. The Middle East is their second biggest market, and Eastern Europe and things like that. Gosh, there's really not a whole lot to not like on this. It really is. I mean, like I said, the only thing I didn't like about it before was the fuel economy. And I didn't want to give up any power, and you don't. Like I said, this thing scoots. Let me tell you, it's as fast as anything out there. And you need power. You want to pull a trailer. I've seen people pulling trailers. And the one thing about it, the people that own these things, just like the Nissan Armada, they love them. and they're trouble free, and they've won a lot of awards for, you know, the 5-year ownership costs and things like that. So if you're looking for a big SUV, 3 rows, lots of room in it, quiet, comfortable.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Welcome back, everybody, to Let's Talk Wheels. I'm Mike Herzing along with Matt Perrault. And as we talked about earlier in the show, today we've got Lee Newcomb. He's on their phone from Ford. They're talking about a brand new Explorer, another version of the Explorer that's pretty exciting. Lee, welcome to Let's Talk Wheels.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me. How are you doing today?
I am awesome. I tell you what now, Explorers, I loved it when I had mine. It was great. And now you've got something called the Timberline. Tell us what this is going to do for us.
Yeah, so this is great news. We're excited to bring it to the public. We are launching the all-new Timberline series for 21 model year, and this is our most capable Explorer ever. So, you know, if you think about the history of Explorer and what a great vehicle it's been, it's quite something to say this is the most capable ever. And it's really designed for you to take your friends and family off-road. If you want to go to your favorite fishing hole or back to a remote camp, Timberline's the best vehicle for you to do that in.
Okay, now what are some of the changes? Those skid plates, a little bit more ground clearance, different wheels and tires. What do we have here?
Yeah, so we raised the ride height about 3/4 inch, and we do that with improved suspension and bigger sidewall tires. We've got a great on it. It's got a torsion limited slip rear axle to help keep you going through the tough terrain, and then it's got some really great looks, the unique front and rear end. And then we've got this great set of off-road trail lights that your dealers can install for you that have up to 160,000 candelas. So, you know, that could light up quite a bit of trail for you when you're on your adventure.
Wow, this is okay. So this is basically, you guys will have everything now. I mean, you're going to have everything from the Bronco all the way down to this, or even, you know, the Escape or something. But you guys, so this is for people that are really wanting to go camping a little bit and just go a little bit more than your average, you know, soccer mom, right?
Well, exactly. I mean, the normal Explorer has a ton of great capability, but Timberline really gives you that added confidence. It's got front view camera on it, so you can see kind of over the next rise in the trail. The tread on the tires has great traction. The torsion limited slip is fantastic. And, you know, it's really meant to deliver as more and more people want to go outside and get back to nature. Timberline is a great way to do that in Explorer.
You know, I remember going to Explorer launch a few years ago when you came back with this new rear-wheel drive version and the big changes on it. And they had some folks from Yakima, and they had all these awesome accessories for the Explorer. I'm sure you're going to have a whole lineup for this one too, right?
Yeah, you know, Yakima is one of my favorite accessory manufacturers, and Ford has a great relationship with them. And yeah, so we've announced 3 new outfitters packages, and basically you choose your rooftop accessory from Yakima, and then we complete that with some all-weather floor mats and also your crossbars. Very affordable. You can actually roll it into your vehicle financing if you don't want to bite off that chunk of money by yourself, and the dealer does all the install for you.
Okay, now is this available in four-wheel drive or is all-wheel drive or two-wheel drive, or where are we at on this one?
It is a standard four-wheel drive on Timberline. Mm-hmm. With that, you get 7 selectable drive modes. So if you're on the trail, you put it to trail setting. There's deep snow sand. There's all different kinds of terrain settings with it. So great capability and confidence when you're off-roading.
You know, a lot of people live in parts of the area, the Snow Belt and things like that, where it's kind of good because Bridgestone Duelers are great tires. I mean, I've used them for years. They are just awesome tires, and they're still quiet, but they're really good in nasty traction areas, you know, mud, snow, sand. You know, this would be handy just period. You know what I mean?
Well, right. We try to develop really a balanced approach to the vehicle. Most people spend 95% of their time driving on city streets, so you don't want to hear that roaring of big, heavy treaded tires, yet the Duelers give you that great off-road confidence. And not only that, they look great, don't they? They look just kind of mean, and they just can get after it. So we're excited to have the relationship with Bridgestone.
Oh, yeah, they're good folks. I mean, Bridgestone Firestone has always had some good stuff, and Firestone's been with Ford since, you know, since Ford was, right?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, great-looking vehicle.
Yeah, it is. You know, and now with all this shortage of chips and things like that, is that going to affect this the run out, the rollout of this new version or not?
Well, people can go in starting May 5th and start ordering their vehicles, their Timberlines. Pricing is available. It's just over $45,000. And, you know, we have a great supply chain, a great manufacturing facility at Chicago, and they're doing everything they can to build as many Explorers as we can get. And Timberline is certainly a priority for us. So we expect them to start hitting showrooms this summer.
Wow. You know, I talked to one of the ladies that has the Mach-E, and they're the same thing. They're kind of like protected for the chip shortage. And I hope this gets over pretty quick, and it's a nightmare for you guys and all these different shortages and things like that. But one thing Ford doesn't have a shortage of is capability. You know what I mean? You guys are always good at doing something really the right way.
Well, thank you. And we've got a really passionate owner base with Explorer. They're always giving us great ideas. And we saw this trend coming in the industry a couple years ago. People wanted to get more and more outdoors. And I think we have a great offering across our portfolio to provide that. And, you know, with the Explorer Timberline, you know, we just amped it up even more. Standard trailer tow, Co-Pilot 360 Assist Plus. This vehicle is loaded to not only support your outdoor adventures, but your everyday adventures.
Okay, take a second. Explain to the folks about the Co-Pilot 360 Plus, whatever that, you know, so that's jumbly-juke for a lot of people, but I know that it means something really cool.
Right. So, you know, this vehicle already comes standard with a lot of what we call driver's assist technology. So blind spot information system, lane keep assist. But the Co-Pilot 360 Assist Plus really takes it to the next level, and that brings with it evasive steer assist, navigation, intelligent adaptive cruise control. It has speed sign recognition, so if you set your cruise at 70 and all of a sudden the speed limit drops to 55, the system will recognize that, increase your speed accordingly to get you out of parking tickets or out of speeding tickets. So it's a really great next level feature content for driver's assist technologies.
You know, that is great because I know the new F-150 comes with a lot of features that the hardware is there, but the software won't be here till the end of the summer. And, you know, you guys are right on the cusp of some really good driver assist things. I mean, for people I've given up on people being distracted, okay? I've just given up on that. They're gonna text. They're going to do stupid things. And the more things that you can have to help them, the safer I am on my motorcycle and next to them and things like that. You know, I mean, people can't quit looking at their phones. And if they have some sort of driver assist that keeps them out of trouble, I'm much happier. You know what I mean?
Well, exactly. And, you know, the vehicles have gotten so intelligent now. They're as active driving as you are as the driver. And with Explorer, we have so much standard driver's technology. You know, that's, I think, one of the reasons we're the IIHS Top Safety Pick Plus rating for 21 model year.
Yeah.
And, you know, when you look at things like autonomous emergency braking, pedestrian detection, BLIS, all those features, you know, the car is really working on your behalf to keep you out of trouble.
You know, I had a friend that had somebody pull in front of him, and wasn't in one of your vehicles, but it was a vehicle that had that evasive assist and things like that. And somebody pulls right in front of him with a big trailer. A guy pulls up with a big farm trailer, just pulls out running from him. He's doing 65. The vehicle braked faster than it tightened up the seat belts, and it braked faster than he could possibly react. It was boom. It was done. He hadn't even hardly moved, and the car was already slammed on its brakes and moving out of the way. And that's what that evasive assist is. And it's so smart, and it's going to save so many accidents. I mean, it's going to – and probably lives. It's such a great feature, and I just hope that soon that we get every car with it. Wouldn't that be great?
It is. They're fantastic features, really amazing. And I'm really proud to say, you know, we're a little bit of a leader in the industry in terms of how much standard safety content we put on our vehicles. And everyone benefits from that, pedestrians and drivers.
You know, you get a lot of companies that are out there, not necessarily you guys, don't get me wrong, but a lot of companies say, we've got this safety features and this safety features and this safety features, and we do all these wonderful things, but it's only on the very top trim level. The ones that everybody buys don't have any of that stuff. But now over the years, I think we're going to find it in probably 2022 and 23 and 24 models that more of these standard features are going to trickle down to the bottom trim levels and it'd be a standard thing. And that's going to really help everybody.
Yeah, and that's one of the things we tried to do with Timberline. You know, this is some of this content, our Copilot 360 Assist Plus. This is content that was usually standard equipment on our high series Platinums and STs.
Right.
And, you know, as we've gotten our cars into the market and gotten customer feedback, we've been more than happy to bring that content down to kind of some of our lower price points, and Timberline's a great example.
Yeah, you know, people are keeping their cars longer than ever. I think the average age is a little over 12 years on a vehicle right now in the U.S. And so these kind of things, to buy something that was it's very advanced, it just helps you later on. And also helps resale value, which is crazy right now. And this is really a neat thing, man. Congratulations on all the work you've done.
Well, thank you so much, Mike. This is we're really so excited to bring this to the market. It's been a passionate product for me. And we're thrilled to have it in the market for people. I know they're going to love it.
Carl, how many years have you been working on this? Two or three? Four?
Yeah, three. Yep.
You yourself. I mean, the designers and stuff have been way there before you. But you come online, and it's how do you have something cool like this and not tell everybody? You know what I mean? How do you like, God, I'm going to tell you. This is the coolest thing. And you can't, right?
Right. Oh, no, it's tough. You just kind of have to bury it a little bit and bite your tongue. But that's been a bit of a passion project for me. You know, there's a lot of times I spend with my dad and my family out camping and hiking and fishing. And you know, this product was really designed to support exactly those activities. So I know people are going to love it, and we're excited to bring it to the market.
Yeah, I've seen you guys. I've been up in Detroit doing something. As a matter of fact, I'm going to be up in Detroit next month for some just some family stuff. And I see you guys. You'll be driving a vehicle, and I'm going, that's not exactly the right stock vehicle. It must be another model that's camouflaged or just kind of made to look like that because I'm, you know what I mean? And they wouldn't notice that it's 3/4 inch more. They wouldn't notice that it's all-wheel drive. They wouldn't notice the wheels and tires. And you just don't put any markings on it, you know. And you got to go out and just use it and abuse it. And come in and do testing and things like that and abuse it some more. That's how y'all do it, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, we have some of the greatest engineers in the world working for Ford. They're so passionate about the product. And, yeah, we get these vehicles put together and we put them through these heavy-duty cycles on different tracks in different parts of the country. And you know, they really beat them up and really test them. But what ends up coming to the dealer lots is a well-proven-out product. Engineered and purpose-built, and they just do a great job with it.
Cool, man. All right, now, when are we going to see these at the dealers, roughly?
We should see these by the end of July.
Okay.
And, again, they can go in and place their order today.
Okay, where can we find it? Where can we go out and build one?
You can go to Ford.com. We've got a great build and price site up and running for Timberline.
Oh,
wow. You can see it in one of the many series that we have on Explore, and you can spec it out however you want. I will say it's a pretty simple build, right? It's loaded with standard equipment.
Yeah, I mean,
if you want to put a moonroof on it.
There's a very few things you can add to it. It's got everything already.
Exactly. You get to pick your color. We've got the all-new forged green color, which looks great on this product, and then a whole host of other colors that look beautiful as well.
That is awesome. Lee, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Mike. Thank you for the time. You have a great day.
Hey, folks, that was Lee Newcomb from our friends at Ford talking about the new Timberline Explorer. Don't go away. There's more to come, including our weekly classic car segment with Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. All of this and more right here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
You're listening to the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Matt Perrault and Mike Herzing.
Let's Talk Wheels here on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network. Mike Herzing and Matt Perrault. You guys always hear this little spiel from me every week about the podcast because we have an extra little tidbit on there. Something special. If you are a fan of classic cars, Mike talks to Jeremy Berenbaum from Classic.com. And Mike, what are you guys going over to this week?
Well, we've answered a bunch of questions. A lot of people are asking about why classic pickup trucks, the long bed doesn't worth near as much as the short bed. And some of the things about, you know, if you have a bad engine, do you want to change the six cylinder? Do you want to put a V8 in it? you know, or this or that, and some of the pros and cons, and how you make that decision on, yeah, I want to upgrade this, or no, I want to leave it stock because it's worth more money. So what hurts the value, what helps the value, and how you make that decision. It was pretty interesting. It was really pretty cool.
Very cool. I need to ask you guys at some point. I want to buy a 1970 Jeep Wrangler. I've decided I want to buy one of those. I'm going to be on the hunt for one of those.
That would be a CJ.
Yes.
Yeah, but it's before the Wrangler.
CJ, yes. I've been told they aren't that hard, that you can actually learn how to do some
simple
stuff on yourself.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be on a hunt in the next couple of years. I'm going to be on the hunt for that. So I'll be poking you and Jeremy to ask you how to do this and how to do that. And do you like this? Do you like that? So,
well, they've got a lot of these things for sale on their auction site, classic.com. It's CLASIQ.com. Really interesting stuff.
And you guys can go search wherever you get your podcast, Let's Talk Wheels, to hear that conversation with Jeremy Barenbaum and Mike Herzing each and every week. And if you missed any part of this program, you can get it as well, reviews and whatnot, every week on Let's Talk Wheels for the podcast and beyond. We're back next week, same place, same time, for Let's Talk Wheels on the Let's Talk Wheels Radio Network.
Welcome, everybody, to Let's Talk Wheels podcast classic car segment. As usual, we got our buddy, our resident car guru, Jeremy Barenbaum from classic.com on the line. Jeremy, what's been happening in L.A. this week? I hear it's beautiful weather.
Oh, it's beautiful weather. We got cars selling every day. It's going great.
Yeah, man, your auction site, oh, my gosh, it's got some cool stuff. I could get in so much trouble. Oh, my gosh, it's just nuts. Man, of course, my 58 will be up there in a week or so.
Yeah, I was going to say, we got you in the process, and we're seeing people that are buying cars in multiple weeks. So I have a guy that bought a car yesterday and then bought a car the previous week. So it's going well so far.
Yeah, okay. Now, we got a lot of people been sending in emails to you, as we've directed. And tell me, what are some of the questions that are people are asking?
Yeah, I've been getting some interesting ones. And like we've been saying, you know, if you have a question, you can either send them to me or Mike, info@classic, or reach out to our Facebook, Mike at Let's Talk Wheels, and we'll answer your questions on air. So this one's from a man who has a 73 Duster with a 6-cylinder, and, mm-hmm. you know, he wanted to put an 8-cylinder motor in it, and someone was telling him, oh, they didn't make many 6-cylinders, and everybody's changing their cars to V8s, so you should keep the 6-cylinder motor. And so I kind of wanted to talk a little bit about the process involved in actually doing it, if it's worth it or not.
Well, you know, you're right, because I can talk about that too easily, because I had a 69 F100 that was in really good shape, not perfect by any means, and it was a 6-cylinder. And so it's a pickup truck. It was a short bed and all that stuff. It was a nice, desirable truck, nice color, cream, kind of a pale yellow, really nice. And it had the 6-cylinder and was an automatic transmission. And it was a turd. Oh, my God, was it slow. But, you know, it wasn't the 306. It was the 240. But I was like, man, I ought to put a V8 in it. I just drop one in there. The mounts are almost the same. The suspension will work, and it'll be fine. Then I realized the vehicle was pretty original, you know, and I'm liable to hurt the value on it, really. And the problem is 6-cylinder, if you want to add air conditioning or something, it just doesn't have any guts. And so, you know, it's...
Yeah, you bring up an interesting point on, you know, the value of the car. Is it worth it? But then there's another thing that you said is, mm-hmm. will the suspension take it? Will the mounts take it? And that's a big thing that you have to think about when you go to a V8. Yeah. There are other things like your radiator will probably be undersized. Mm-hmm. Your brakes are now going to be undersized.
Right.
Will the transmission bolt up? Do you have to get mounts for the block to fit in versus the 6-cylinder block that was in there? So there are a lot of things that you have to go into. And sometimes it's worth it. Sometimes it's not. It really depends on what the car is to you and what you want to keep it for.
You know, you're exactly right, Jeremy. It's very intuitive because, you know, a lot of times, well, I've seen people, though, they'll take that Duster. It's got the 6, and they'll say, I'm going to put a 440 V8 in it. You know, that was never offered in that. You know what I mean? They're going to put an engine that was never offered in there. It's like having a Nova and putting, you know, a 454 in it. You know what I mean? I'm like, it wasn't ever designed for that. You got to shoehorn it in. You got to make all these modifications. Man, it'll be run great. Don't get me wrong. Oh, it'll be fun. But
it would be a super fun.
A lot of changes and a lot of work. And I think it might actually hurt the value in some cases. You know what I mean?
In some cases, yeah. And then is it a car that at the end of that process you're going to drive for a couple years and go, oh, man, I wish I would have, you know, done something different?
Right.
When you go through all that work, you're not going to get the money back. I'm sorry to say.
No, not even
close. Your time, the effort, everything that you put in, you're not getting it back. So right. You have to love that car for what it now is.
You know, you're right. Every change I made on my F100, I saved all the old parts. You know, I was thinking about adding, you know, disc brakes and doing other stuff, and I decided to sell it as it was stock and then go after something else. But, you know, if you're going to go Restomod, it's like, which is what that's making it into, is a Restomod. But that's one thing. But there are people out there, if your vehicle's not original and it's had some changes already and you want to go from a 6-cylinder to a V8, that's not a bad idea, you know, if it's a V8 that they sold on that car and you can just bolt it in, you know what I mean? Then that's okay. But if you're starting changing it, you know, I've seen people take a Ford and they'll put a Chevy small block in it. You know, I'm like, oh, God, talk about the changes in there. So where does it stop? You know what I mean? Where do you change the engine and then all of a sudden you want to change the transmission. Then you got to change the drive shaft. Then you got to change, you know, the steering column. Then you got to change. It's like, my God, where do you stop? You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's like, why do you end up getting that car? You could have got something else that had all those things,
right?
You know,
right.
And there are people that like doing that's their passion, and they like to spend the time. And there's no fault to them or those cars, but if you're someone sitting with one of those cars in your driveway, and you're like, man, I wish it would have had a V8. It's not just like going out and getting a V8 and plug and play and put it in. There's a lot of things that you have to think about to keep up with that V8.
Well, you know, you're right, but there are a lot of people, let's say you bought that duster, just went out and bought this duster and it had a bad engine and transmission. Okay, maybe the transmission and the engine were locked up and, you know, and it just hadn't been run in 15 years and it's just junk. It's a throwaway. Now, if you're having to do that, then it might be, okay, maybe I will go back with a V8 since I've got to change the engine and transmission anyway. You know what I mean? Then I'll go with a better transmission and I'll do this or that. I'll upgrade everything. That's when you see these shows where people do that. That's what they're doing. They're not taking out a really good running, you know, really capable engine, even though it's underpowered, and then replacing it with this. They're taking out something that doesn't work or it's blown up.
Yeah.
And they're putting it in. Now, that's a horse of a different color, as they would say. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. One thing you got to think about is, like, when you look at the old Mustang cars, and they drive really well with, you know, a small block 289, and then
right.
In the later years they go to the big block cars and you know, the baddest of them all, you know, the Boss 429. They had to cut the shock towers to fit that motor in, and
right.
To do work on that car is near not impossible, but very tough.
Oh, I know. I've seen you had to loosen the motor mounts and jack the engine up just to change the spark plugs. It was a nightmare. But, you know, it's a great big motor. But the car didn't handle that good because it was so heavy in the front. Now, I have seen people. I saw a guy that had a 6-cylinder, some kind of a Chrysler Slant 6. And I forgot what the car was. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. It may have been a Barracuda or something. Plymouth Barracuda, and it had the Slant 6, and it was just underpowered. He went out and put a cam in it, bigger carburetor, did some other things for it, and it was still the 6-cylinder, but it ran great. You know what I mean? So you
yeah,
can also
I'm
go
sure.
back and freshen up the engine, give it more, you know, raise the compression, you know, because some of these things are just worn out. Go out there and freshen it all up, put new pistons and rings and rod bearings and things like that, and then or just go out and have it bored and things like that, and then bring the horsepower back up to what it was stock, because it was, you know, it may have been 110 or 20, but after being this old, it probably was down to 80. You know what I mean? So let's bring it up there. Let's put a bigger carburetor, maybe a different cam or different distributor, ignition and things like that. And now all of a sudden it's going to run as good as a V8.
I think that's a much better solution for someone looking for a little more pep or power in their car. And I think you also get a little bit of credit at a car show when you pop your hood and you do some work to a Slant 6 and
right.
and it sounds good, you know. Yeah. You get some respect that way for sure.
You know, you're right. It's like somebody taking a Volkswagen that has a 1300 and they put an 1800 in, you know. You know.
Yeah, nowadays you're seeing some of these VWs with turbos putting out over 200 horsepower and you're like, wow.
Yeah, Herbie will really go fast then.
So,
you know,
exactly.
But there's a lot of things. So, you know, basically I've seen people go out and I said, look, go get it appraised. Go to somebody that knows what they're doing. Look at the car and say, okay, it's got enough original parts and it's got enough, you know, history here that I wouldn't change it. I know people that, like, for example, have the engine redone, but they don't just throw another engine in. They take that number that has the matching block, you know, the numbers on the block that'll match the VIN plate, you know, the number on the engine there, and they'll take those that engine out, get it rebuilt, and put it back in. Maybe upgrade it a little bit and bored or stroked or whatever you want to do, and if you want more horsepower. And you can do that, and I think it'll really increase the value versus killing the value, you know?
I think so, too. And like I said, always, you know, you want to do what you can to keep the car on the road and drivable. And when you can do something like that and keep the original parts with the car, that's just extra.
Yeah, you don't want to hop it up enough where you have to go out and buy race gas everywhere you go. You know what I mean? But you want to still enjoy it and want to be able to, you know, put an air conditioner on it or maybe some power brake. Of course, once you get more horsepower, you got to have better brakes and better suspension. So it never stops,
does it? AC is another thing. You know, you want AC on a small powered motor, you know, you're taking power from the AC.
Yeah. I mean, granted, some of the new aftermarket ACs, the scroll compressors and stuff, don't take the horsepower like the old piston compressors, the old Tecumseh compressors, but still, they still draw horsepower, maybe only 6 or 8 or 10 but versus 20. But it's just, you know, extra adding to the cooling system, stuff like, for example, your radiator will be undersized when you go to a V8. The transmission cooler is different. The transmission may not hold up to a V8, you know. So there's just a lot of the changes that you want to do. And if you're ready to jump off that bridge and cost yourself a lot of money and a lot of time, it's worth it to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you've got to figure out, you know, that I probably won't get all this money back, if any. Right?
No. The nice thing to know about wanting to do this, though, is everyone has done it before. So there's a lot of information. There's a wealth of parts. There's people to help you through all the steps, which is really nice.
Right, that's very cool. All right, now let's touch on a couple of cars you got for sale this week. What do you got?
Yeah, so currently live on our website, we have. Oh man, oh sorry, man, I got lost on the page. If you give me 1 second.
No, so you got all. I saw it the other day. Did you get? You still have that Firebird, Smoking the Bandit Firebird up there? Or is it gone?
Oh, that one's gone.
Oh,
I
bummer.
Know this week we have a lot of old trucks, which is really cool. We have the 50 Ford F-100, 47 Ford jail bar that has, like, the vertical bars in the grill going all the way across. Looks pretty mean.
Jail bar.
1940 Plymouth pickup. And then a 56 Chevy 3200. So we got a lot of trucks going this week.
That is awesome. All right, we're going to talk about more of these changes, folks, next week. Next, we're going to talk about somebody changing the electrical system and the pros and cons of doing this kind of thing. All of it. It's going to be great. So be sure to tune in next week. Jeremy, anything else in closing?
No, I think that's all for today. If you have any cars that you'd like to sell, you know, you should reach out to Classic. We can give you an appraisal, what we think it's worth, and then put you through the system like we've done with Mike.
Yep, CLASIQ.com. Folks, thanks for tuning in the podcast today. If you have any car questions, like we said, info@letstalkwheels.com. We're all going to work to everybody an answer. Jeremy, what's your email address?
It's Jeremy@Classic. Pretty easy.
Jeremy@CLASIQ.com. Remember, you can find us on our website, Let's Talk Wheels, on Facebook, Instagram. You can find us on Classic.com on the content tab. Tell your friends about the podcast. Ask them to subscribe. We'd really appreciate it. So on behalf of Matt Perrault, Jeremy Barenbaum, our awesome producer Jack McCraw, and myself, I want to thank everybody for joining us today on the Let's Talk Wheels radio podcast. I'm Mike Herzing. Happy motoring.